Again, I would say most of the time with a real believer, when we go there, we're not consciously saying that. But that's still the truth. That is the issue. And so if you're helping somebody who's caught up in this, or if you find yourself struggling with this in a particular area, you know, I'm good with everything else except this category of Christian living, and I just really want my lists here, then maybe meditating on the sufficiency of Christ and looking up scriptures on the sufficiency of Christ would be a positive way to begin just to change some of those presuppositions, subtle heart issues sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not turning that off while you're blinded by what should be or could be justice, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's good. It's basically what James was saying. You know, prove yourselves doers of the word and not hearers only. When God convicts you about something, that's the time to deal with that. Yeah. I think that's what I hear you saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. All right, anybody else? Any other thoughts?
I think that the fear that we have is a lack of trust, too. You know, it's like, I've got to handle this because I'm not sure God can.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know if y'all could hear that. The fear is a lack of trust in God. And fear is often what drives this. And I think with some of the times that I've struggled with things like this, it's not so much been an absolute statement that, well, God can't be trusted, therefore I'm going to do this. It's that I know that some of the people in this book had hard lives, and I don't want mine to be that hard. And so I'm just going to pitch in and help a little right here. I don't want the deal he got. You know, like Stephen in Acts 7, you know, I don't want that deal. I'll just pitch in and try a little bit here and make this happen. It can be really subtle, but it is fear. And meditating on the goodness of God and on our position as his slaves, a word that is seldom translated in English Bibles, we are slaves of Christ, not bondservants. The word means slaves. Well, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I'm gonna have to write that quote down. But all of that was good. I especially like that quote. So I think freedom in Christ is very easy for us to shun with fear, with unbelief, with doubt. And a big part of what's driving all of that is, well, what will happen if we don't hang on to this particular part of the list? And there's a false premise in that that you can't be free in Christ and live a godly life. It's like, you know, if we give up our list, then ungodliness will result. But that's wrong. And you look at Paul, the guy who wrote this book. Who ever better sustained his joy and his faithfulness through difficult times than the man who wrote this? We can be free in Christ without going into the abyss of ungodliness. Freedom in Christ does not produce ungodliness. It's a different approach to being godly. Instead of, let's check off the list, let's make sure we do this, instead of the flesh, driven by fear, which will always be tainted, we're free to love Christ and to want to obey him. That's the difference. That's why we will be godly if we are really living for him and enjoying this freedom. It won't be, oh, I can't do that. That would be bad. It'll be, I don't want that. What was I thinking when I wanted that? I don't want that. I love him, and that would offend him. Freedom in Christ is freedom to love. To love righteousness and to love the righteous one. And that's why the sin doesn't run rampant. Well, let me lead us in prayer once more and we'll dismiss. Father God, I thank you for a challenging series, at least for me personally, and a helpful one. And I thank you for this passage on our freedom in Christ. And for the warning here of the many subtle dangers that we face, help us to stand firm in what you have provided for us and to stay in our freedom to love you and to want to be righteous for you, for our love for you. Be glorified in your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
what did Christ make us free on the cross?
The law.
The law. Yeah. Good answer. What else would you say?
Sin and death.
Sin and death. And death is one and the primary consequence of sin. So it makes free from the law, has some bonds, it makes free from sin. Consequence of sin that